Well, good evening to everyone. It's a real privilege to be here and to have here two people from old Yugoslavia. One is from Serbia. He is just first time with us, Carlo. We know each other for some years, and his sister was my spiritual mother. When I was a backslider, even I grew up in a Christian home, and my father was an elder. I got saved when I was 12, but when teenage comes, you know, everything is boiling up, and you think that the grass is greener over the fence, and if you are not watering down your grass, then you think it is true that in this world is better fun, fulfillment, and freedom than in your own relationship with Jesus. And I understand that we have here a brother from Slovenia, so it is nice to meet people from old country. But of course, we are a large body of Christ on this earth, and it's always a privilege to meet new brothers and sisters, and to know that we are one in Him. And I will speak today in the most spoken language in this world, and imagine it is not English. But I hope you will understand me. The new language in this world that is most spoken is named broken English. But even you're not speaking that language, I hope we will not have problems to understand each other. Yes, I'm announced as somebody who will share what is going on in Montenegro. But before that, I would like to read from Ephesians 4, from 11 verse through 13. And I just got a New Testament from brother from Rudy, right, from Slovenia. And I like this because it is simple English, so it means for broken English speakers. I like the translation. Even I have New King James that I learned that you are using the most. I hope you will understand this one too. So it says like this in this simple English language. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. What a God's attitude. God is building His church. Jesus said, I will build the church that even gate of hell will not prevail. And what a privilege to belong to the church of Christ, to be victorious in Him. And we can complain about the world where we live and behavior of people and different religions that are coming and going, rising up and maybe prevailing in this world. But Jesus says, my church will be victorious. And as it says here, I like this word, their responsibility. God gave different ministries, different gifts to His church to build up the church, believers, disciples of Jesus. Our responsibility. This is not just responsibility of these ministries that are here, but the responsibility of every one of us is to invest in the body of Christ. And I think This is the key for being happy and joyful in that body of Christ. When we stop to invest spiritually, then we are becoming pretty bored. And then we are thinking, oh, why I do not have such a love and first love for Jesus? Because we are not investing. And we are investing in those things that we count as worthy. And we are investing in those things that are exciting us. When we are excited about something or somebody, then it is not a problem to find the time, to find the emotions, to find the money, to find anything what is needed just to accomplish what is becoming our passion. And sometimes when I'm comparing with my passion that I have some for life, and when I compare my passion, when God is calling me to do something, then so many times I feel short to be so compassionate for the God's calling. And that's the battle all the time. Body and spirit. Spirit and body. But we are called to be victorious and to take our responsibility, whatever it is. I will show you one video that is always inspiring me to be encouraged. Even some things that I'm thinking, oh, maybe it's not important, maybe it's not worthy to pay attention to that. And sometimes we are drawn to extremes. If I'm not doing something that in my sight is very significant, then I'm tending to be passive. Ah, who cares? Who will notice? Who will thank for what I'm doing? But let's be realistic. Not many things are some big things in our life. And in our language we have that small things are mattering in our life. And this video will show something that is so important. And I hope this will...
be an aircraft powered by engines made by the world's most famous engine maker. Four Rolls-Royce engines, each delivering 72,000 pounds of thrust to lift the massive aircraft almost noiselessly off the ground.
First I thought it was just a puff of smoke, but then there was an incredibly loud bang, and the whole plane started to vibrate.
While the plane was still in the air, pictures of large pieces of the aircraft on the ground began appearing on television. The pieces of disc that blew out of the engine severed two separate bundles of wiring responsible for many of the landing controls.
We have lost some spoilers, and we've lost the leading edge slats, and we have 50 tons over our max landing weight, half the brakes, anti-skids inoperative on some of the brakes.
Fuel was still pouring from a puncture in one of the tanks.
The fuel system in the IO was a mess.
We had lost fuel on the left-hand wing. The left-hand wing ended up being up to 10 tons lighter than the right-hand wing.
When Dave Evans made the calculations for the landing, the computer told him it wasn't possible. At 11:47, the wheels touched down.
Those brakes, when we stopped, were indicating going up through 900 degrees Celsius. To see 900 degrees when we've stopped means these brakes are beyond white hot.
It was unbelievable to look at that engine and up close,
was just gobsmacking. It's the only way to describe it.
I didn't expect the whole back of the engine to not be there. I mean, the only thing holding the back section of the engine on was the shafts, the turbine shaft. I mean, the whole intermediate pressure turbine was gone to look underneath and still see fuel leaking out of the fuel tanks and just walking around. It was actually a bit surreal. There's all this, you know, retardant foam blowing around through the air, and I was sort of wandering around under the plane and fuel leaking everywhere, and it's weird.
They zeroed in on the end of the oil feed tube called a stub pipe. The pipe carried oil to cool and lubricate bearings in the engine. But the pipe cracked, spilling oil into the hottest part of the engine, igniting a fire which softened the arm connected to the large metal turbine disc. The disc started to freewheel, then accelerated, broke into pieces, and fired out of the engine, travelling faster than the speed of sound. Rolls-Royce had drilled the end of the stub pipe to make room for a filter, but they hadn't drilled straight.
It became clear that drilling had not happened straight down the line of the pipe. It had been offset, leading to a weakness in the wall of the pipe.
The 500-ton, six-story Airbus, carrying more than 400 people, was almost brought down by a single metal tube. The faulty pipe was installed on the engine and sent into service, where it cracked under pressure from multiple takeoffs. The faulty part that did the damage was a little more than 5 centimetres long, not much bigger than my thumb.
Incredible, huh? Such a small thing could cause the 500 tons engine and whole system to fall on the ground. And as I said so many times, if we do not see us as maybe a big wing that is so important that other people are depending on us or we are making some decisions, so that extreme, if we are not like that, that we, it is drawing us back like, oh, if I'm not that, then I cannot do anything. I cannot be influential. I cannot be somebody who is important or to do some big things. But if God didn't make me to be a wing, but he made me to be a small pipe, to do maybe some small things that nobody knows. You know, when this big airplane came to be made up, everyone was, wow, I see Airbus 380. Wow, what a machine. What a big airplane. That small thing can ruin everything. And so many times when we are doing small things to each other, it can bring such a blessing. It can save lives. I heard or read a testimony of a young lady who was planning to make suicide, and somebody called her. Some anonymous for us, some friend. She didn't get a call from Mr. Trump or some other big figure on this earth, or Vladimir Putin. There was some anonymous person who called and saved life. We have 33 times mentioned in New Testament that we should do something to each other. And the most mentioned word is to love each other. But then in what way? Well, to bear burdens of each other. Do we know what is our burdens? Do we have such a fellowship that we can share our burdens? Then it says to pray for each other. And thank you, brother, that this assembly is praying for us. It's such a meaningful for us. Such encouragement to hear that somebody is praying. And I was astonished yesterday. My friend called me and he said, he knows that I'm here in Canada and US, and he said, I put my watch for every hour to make that beep. And first 5 minutes, I'm praying for you. I was shocked. Do we have friends like that? Or am I friend like that to somebody else? To carry in prayer. That is maybe that small pipe that is lubricating parts that needs that grease to function well. May God inspire us how we can be a help to each other. How we can bear the burdens of each other. I'm so glad that God called me to go to Montenegro. I said that I was born in a Christian family. And when I was 12, I got calling to go to Montenegro. Don't ask me why Montenegro, because I do not know. I was very much inspired by some literature that I was reading. And I believe God put in my hands those literature that was inspiring me. But it was obvious that it was calling from God, because through all these years, even through teenage years, it was still in me, even I was a backslider. And I knew that God has plan for my life, because this idea to go to Montenegro was never leaving me. Even at that time was kind of on cold. It was not in fire. But God was building something in me to one day to go there. And I didn't want to talk about that very much. Of course, I rededicated my life to Jesus when I was 18, 19, and came back to Him in a really full connection. And I was praying to God, because He was warning me in those days, if I will not be serious with Him, He can shorten my life just to not bring any more shame to His name. And then after going to Bible school in Vienna, one friend asked me, Vladimir, what would you like to do in your life? And I said, I would like to go to Montenegro to be a missionary, to live there, and to bring the gospel. And we didn't speak very much about that. But after a year, he came back to me and said, Vladimir, you said you would like to go to Montenegro to be a missionary. Three of us went to Montenegro for our vacation to the coast. And on the way back, we were thinking, look at this Montenegro. There is no evangelical Christians, no churches at all. What we could do in that regard? So they made agreement among themselves. If another guy and myself will go to Montenegro, they will support us for 3 months as a probe. So it was presented me as a probe. Well, for me, it was not a probe. I knew God is opening door, and He will take care even after 3 months. And surely enough, after 3 months, such a big inflation came to Serbia that they couldn't support us anymore. But God is not short. He's not depending only on three guys. He was stirring up the desire to support us from other people that didn't give anything in those 3 months. God always has His timing. And then when we started to work there, God was starting to use us. But let's say a little bit about Montenegro. Montenegro became independent in 2006. So that's why you do not hear very much about Montenegro. But just a little bit of the history. You can see the Europe, and you can see the country that was called Yugoslavia. It was communist country, but not that communist like Eastern Bloc, Soviet Union. You know that Tito was the president, and it was made of Slovenia and Croatia, Bosnia, Serbia, Montenegro, and Macedonia. It is really beautiful country. Everything what you have here, we have there. Even Niagara Falls. Oh, I didn't take a picture of Niagara Falls. That is called Niagara Falls in Montenegro. It's a little bit smaller than yours. Well, in Montenegro is the only fjord of Mediterranean Sea. The biggest lake on Balkan is shared with Albania. And there are many mountains. And actually, this is called the most mountainous, most stony mountainous country in Europe. This line is showing that there is road, which is actually main road between Montenegro and Serbia. The deepest canyon in Europe is settled in Montenegro. It is 1,300 meters deep, and just 300 meters difference between Grand Canyon and this canyon. They are big people. Well, when you see me, I'm not so tall, right? I'm just 1.65 meters. So looking at this guy, he has a little bit bigger head than me, but not much taller. But the secret is not in head. The secret is in legs. He is not the only one. There are giants, like in Promised Land. So when we are seeing evangelical churches in Yugoslavia, the number of churches would be approximately this. This is not precise, but we had freedom to meet. We had freedom to share the gospel at that time. But in Montenegro, there were no evangelical churches at all of any kind of denomination before 1990s. Population is not even a million. Orthodox Church has about 70%, which is predominant. Islam is almost 20%. But thanks God, there are mainly just nominal Muslims, but they also have some missionaries that are, you know, trying to attract those nominals to become more, maybe not radical, but, you know, to pay attention to their religion. They are bringing also humanitarian aid and attracting them to be more serious in their religion. Roman Catholics are a really small number, and that would be among Croats and Albanians. Albania is here, so there many Albanians are settled here and also in Podgorica and this part of Montenegro. But evangelicals, so these are all evangelical movements, it would be altogether still very small number, just 0.04% of whole population. These are the places where are some, even some individuals, believers, and this is capital, Podgorica, and there are about 150 believers altogether in the city of 160,000 inhabitants, and there are 5 registered churches. And you can see there are just about altogether about 250 believers in whole country. So we, this guy and myself, and I had a little bit more hair than today, we were singles at that time. In 92, we came from this region to Montenegro. So it is about 500 kilometers apart. We started as good Jehovah's Witnesses to go from door to door. And of course, the first question was, are you Jehovah's Witnesses? Because they were familiar how Jehovah's Witnesses are operating. So we knocked on every door of these buildings, but only one family got saved. And it took, even for them, this one was the last who got saved, 14 years. And the man who was opening the door and receiving me into the flat, he was already with the Lord when this picture was taken. She was 3.5 years old. when we met for the first time. When I got married, everything changed. Right, guys? When we get married, whole life is changed. And this change was for good for me. because usually I was mainly in contact with ladies because they were more open for the gospel. But once Mariana came into my life, it was much easier to connect and to develop the friendship. So this lady was the first one who got saved in the group. And this was the first man who got saved after a few years in the group. So we started to meet in our flat, and the group was growing very slowly. These are my parents. My father died a year ago, and mother is still alive. So I say the church in Montenegro is still very small, but there is a hope. It's growing. This is our place where we meet, upstairs. So this was a cafe. This is the entrance, the narrow gate. and this is inside when we get together. We are meeting about 50, 60 of us, depending. And 35 of them are locals, Montenegrins. We also have integrated in our church four families as missionaries. Some of them are from Operation Mobilization, some CEF, Child Evangelism Fellowship, and some from CREW that are working with students. So even we are a small assembly, God is adding those who can be right away put in use for the ministry. We have about 25 kids, I think even more, but that would be together with the kids from these missionary families. And we have a big, good problem. We cannot fit them all into a small room like this. So many times there are kids like this and kids like this that is stepping over each other. And so many times we had to force these older ones to go out, of course, with their teacher. And we are lucky that we have some playing ground very close to our assembly, so they can play there if there is no rain. So this lady came in 2001, and I told you that this is the girl that I said I met her when she was 3 and a half. And these are her relatives. So it was very small group of kids that she could start to work with. But this ministry took like launching when we started to distribute shoeboxes in society, in schools. And also the main thing for us is when we can distribute shoeboxes with a Christmas program that we are making for these kids, and about 1,300 kids are coming to our Christmas program for this occasion when there is Christmas time. So we are using this event to bring the gospel, and I would say this is the biggest event to share the gospel in Montenegro. We are receiving about 7,000 shoeboxes, and it is a great ministry that can be done throughout Montenegro, not just in our church. So Samaritan's Purse is giving a big emphasis to use every package to bring the gospel, and then to challenge children and parents to allow their children to come to 12 lectures of like discipleship program. On the end, they are getting small diploma and celebration that they finished something good in their life. So since then, when we started to do that, we have more kids that are coming. And those kids are different kids that you could see in that room. So kids in the room are kids from our members, believers. These kids are coming from non-believing families. So it is a pleasure to connect with them and their families, because that's the generation that is coming. And we believe that sowing the seed in these small kids is something that will never leave them. Whether they will turn to Jesus or not, the message will be there. And we never know when it will bear the fruit. So we are providing something similar like Avana that you have here. So the games and Bible lectures, learning the Bible, the scripture by heart. And then on the end of school year, we have children camps. And I know these all things are familiar to you. You are doing that for years, decades, maybe centuries. But this is the beginning in Montenegro. We are just raising first generation of the kids that are growing in Christian family like I was raised. So all this is pioneering work. And I'm so glad that God was so strong to bring me to Montenegro, because I almost stayed in your beautiful country. I got immigrant visa to be here because my brother is living in Kingsville. It is close to Windsor. He is attending Oakwood Bible Chapel in Windsor. And it was an attraction for me as a 25 years old to stay here. But God's calling was strong, and His grace was upon me to say, "Goodbye, Canada. I'm going back where God wants me to be." Teenagers are requiring a lot of strength, right, parents? It takes time to raise them, but there will be a reward. You will have grandkids after that. This is the family that is also involved with Child Evangelism Fellowship Ministry. And I would ask you to pray for them, because they are facing financial challenges. And if we would lose them, we would really have a pretty big gap because of their absence from the ministry. What is the situation in Montenegro? If you have job, which is good, right? But then you have to work all day long. You cannot have a part-time job. So it takes you all. So if they will not be able to remain in the ministry, then they will be pretty busy. First teenage camp, we had in 2009. It was in the area where is that big canyon, deep canyon, and this is the bridge that is very known in Montenegro. It's deep 150 meters to the river at this point. Of course, many activities for the teens, much of fun, but also we need to tire them so they can sleep overnight. So somebody told us we need to take this path and to come there for 2 hours, but it took us a little bit more because we were not fit to do that. But on the end, it was good. To get courage to raft on the River Tara, you need first exercise and equipment and to be ready for real deal. I'm just kidding. So, of course, the camp just to have fun and excitement about sports and so on, it's not fulfillment. We have to have lectures and songs, and it was a great time this time, because we were very encouraged that two guys that came this time, they were actually coming for a shoebox. They were teenagers, 13 and 14 years old. And on the end of every distribution, we have a list of offered programs that we have, whether it is kids clubs or kids camps, teenage clubs, camps. So they signed for camps. And when our people went to talk with the parents and get their permission to take these guys, and they were the best friends because they were neighbors. Their names are the same, Vasily. One of the fathers, he said, "Well, I don't think my boy will like your lectures. Can he escape? Can he be excused of those lectures?" And the guy said, "Well, it is not possible. Everyone is attending that, and we are Christian camp, so that's our goal, to teach people, to teach teenagers about spiritual principles and the truth from the scripture." But okay, then he agreed, and no problem. But he was not quite satisfied with that. But when these guys came to the camp, they were so full of questions, and their interest for the scripture was so great that we were so encouraged just to not give up and to continue to meet with them and to continue to teach them about God and relationship with God. We are getting help from Every Home for Christ. I'm not quite sure if you know this ministry. It is settled in Colorado Springs. It's interdenominational organization. But this guy is belonging to our assembly, and he is diligent to bring this tract to every home. This tract is actually the testimony of this guy who was a drug addict for a long time. But 10 years ago, he got saved and gave his life to Jesus. His story is very interesting. Unfortunately, he was involved even with crime. Even in Canada, he came with false passport to Canada. But it was his desire to be free from the drugs. He thought if he will come to Canada, when he pay 10,000 Deutschmarks for his false passport and start to live new life in Canada, that he can be free. But he found out after a few years he was again in drugs, in crime. And then he went back to Montenegro and he wanted to make suicide second time on the grave of his dead mom. But then God put his hand on his shoulder through one man who recognized this man is drug addict. And surely enough, after a few days, he was in rehab center. And after 10 months, he met Jesus in his heart, gave his life to him, and started to walk with him. Today, he has 3 kids, very smart wife, very great help. And he now wants to make a center for resocialization of those who are coming out from rehab center. Because even they are free from drugs, clean, but if they do not have anywhere to work, if they are rejected from their family, they will be very soon back into old style of living. So his desire to welcome those who are coming and to help them to start really new life in society. We have every year annual meeting of all believers in Montenegro. So it is always good to meet together and encourage each other. We are just in front of a big project, which is building project in Podgorica. We are so grateful that as we started to talk about this 2 years ago, one organization from UK, they gave us grant to buy this land, which is just on the riverbank. It is 1,500 square meters, which is like a lot for 3 family houses. So there is a big potential. It is close to the downtown, which is very important. And we want to turn this into parking space, to knock down this house, and this one is already down, and to turn backyard into playing ground for kids. So we were already working on the land to take down this house, which is not fitting into our plans, and just clear up the ground for future building. That will be, dimension should be 11 by 25. And what we desire is not just space for our assembly to have a meetings in the building, but also to have to be as a mission center for Montenegro. Whether it will be like this or like this, it depends. But we can see how God is putting all things together. The architect that is living in Slovakia was met by our common friend from Northern Ireland. This man, David, he was visiting us and listening what is the vision for the future. And later on, he met this guy in Slovakia who is architect, brother in Christ, who said, "I will make a plan for them, like for us, and I will not charge anything for that. This will be my contribution for them." He was in Montenegro 8 years ago and fell in love with Montenegro and wanted to do something for Montenegro. So he has opportunity. Also, it's so dear to my heart. For this project, we need some legal help. And I was searching for some lawyer. Some lawyers can be good, right? I know the expression in U.S., what lawyer is good, I will not say. But this one, he's child of God. It is so rare to find somebody who is not belonging to any assembly and walking in the path of Jesus. He says that he gave his life to Jesus 10 years ago, but it took him a long time to realize that we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus. He wants to glorify God with his life. He admitted that he was living very sinful life before he decided to follow Jesus. I didn't see anywhere, in my experience, didn't see a person who is a believer without other believers as to be in fellowship and to have such a straight faith, such a pure like he has. As we were getting along and having fellowship with each other, he said, "Well, I'm ready for fellowship. I need it. I want to be together with other believers." So he started to attend our fellowship, and he says, "I feel so well among you." He was attending Seventh-day Adventist because they are very active on websites, on internet, and they are very eloquent, explaining, and so on. So he started to attend their church, but then soon he found out, well, this is not what I'm desiring for. He was also listening to some sermons online on YouTube, and he said, "I want to do all these legal things for you for free. This is my contribution to God's kingdom." I'm just amazed how God is putting things together. I'm amazed that we have already 62% of needed funds for this building that we are praying that will be set there. So I'm sharing this with joyful heart. And I know God will accomplish what He is starting. He will accomplish. My prayer is that we will follow His path, that we will see what is His vision, and to follow as He is leading us. As I said, it wouldn't be just for ourselves. We want to open that for the ministry in Montenegro. So there will be also some classroom and offices that will be needed for the ministries. And also some dormitory that will welcome and give actually opportunity for short-term mission teams that are more and more attracted by Montenegro to come. Because Montenegro is seen as the least evangelized country in Europe. And there are teams that are asking, can we come? I last year got invitation from last year I got call from one man from Quebec. They wanted to come to Montenegro, like 15 of them. And I said, we do not have capacity to receive you. I'm very sorry. Let's stay in touch and see if God will open doors somehow in some years that are coming, so you can come and help us in spreading the gospel. So this is our vision, that God will stir up the people's hearts and see their, maybe that small part, maybe that pipe, to be in this ministry and in this need. I like this picture, and when I saw this plant, I could see the vision of the church in Montenegro. It's so tender, it's so small, but there is life. And I believe God will raise more and more people who will be saved and added to church, as it says in the Acts, that God was saving people and adding to the church. So where there is life, there is no boundaries that can hold that life. So that's my prayer, that life of the church in Montenegro will grow and will crack all boundaries that religion set. Everything, all predrasude, Carlo. Predrasude, how do you say? He forgot Serbian. when you think of somebody, he is that guy, but he's not. What is the word? Help me. This is broken English. Okay. You know what I want to say. Yes. Let's pray for strong church in Montenegro that will be so alive. But for that, we need prayers of each other. You need our prayers. We need your prayers. And if we are helping each other, God is working. God is answering the prayers. Before I met that lawyer, I was praying maybe 2 weeks ago. God, bring us together. Bring us to those people who are close to decision to believe in you. Or with those who are already yours, but we do not know them. After 2 weeks, I met the lawyer. God is answering the prayers. So may He answer our prayers as we are praying according to His will. So what to pray for? For stable church in Podgorica. It's so easy just to destroy something, right? It was so easy to destroy that house. The machinery did it in a few hours. But how many hours the owner needed to build it up? It's same with the church. It is so sad that some churches are just destroyed by stupid decisions. We are praying for our church to be mission-oriented, that our vision will not be just for ourselves, but whole Montenegro. We are praying for children and teenage and youth ministry. And we are so glad that we have all generations in our church. We are praying for future leaders in the church, that they will be serving leadership, that they will not see position in leader, but servanthood, as Jesus was serving us. And of course, building project. We need a lot of prayers. So thank you for your attention and to receive me, to get know me, and to give me opportunity to get know you. So we are together in this, because we are belonging to one kingdom, His kingdom, and He will prevail. And He will finish the work that He started in us and in this world. So we can be cheerful hearts, with cheerful hearts, that we are victorious, no matter what. will you pray on the end? So that is, if you have a question or on the end, I can give you this material that is showing some figures and vision and about the building project. You have to know that this building would be the first purposefully built building for the church in whole Montenegro. So we are still pioneers in that area. And I'm feeling so privileged to be there, to be eyewitness what God is doing. So this is my email address. If you would like to get our quarterly prayer letters, you can write to me. I can give you my card. So I can send these letters, prayer letters, to you directly and to know what to pray for if you wish that. Amen.
Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we bow before Thee again. We're just so thankful and so grateful to Thee for this report that we've received from our dear brother. We're thankful, Father, for the pioneering work he's involved in. We thank Thee, Father, for answered prayer. We just pray, our Father, Thy continued encouragement and blessing in the work that's happening in Montenegro. We think of the work that's being done amongst the children and amongst the teenagers. Father, we're thankful for this building project and how the pieces are coming together. We continue to pray, our Father, that the needs will be supplied. And we continue to pray for the furtherance of the gospel in Montenegro. We pray that building project that we're hearing of is the first of many that will happen in this country. And so, Father, we thank Thee for bringing to our attention the need that is here. We continue to pray for our brother and the work that he's involved in. We pray, our Father, that you will encourage him and strengthen him and provide for his every need. We pray for the believers that are in Montenegro, these 250 believers. Father, we're thankful for the operation of the Spirit of God that is making connections amongst them and bringing them together. And we pray that, Father, through this, tremendous work might be done in the gospel. And that our Lord Jesus Christ would be magnified and would be exalted in this country of Montenegro. So, Father, we're just thankful again for this report that we've heard and the blessing that's been to us. We thank Thee for the blessing that our brother has been to us and for the encouragement that he has given to us through the ministry of the Word and the work that he is doing. So, Father, we just pray your blessing as we part. We pray you take us to our homes in safety. We pray your continued blessing upon our brother, continued journey of mercies upon him as he travels and shares the work that he's doing. So, Father, we pray thy blessing as we part now. And give you thanks in the precious and worthy name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.